go to St. Thomas Sports Park and hear from Titans head coach Michael George Vrabel.
You have to come to work. You have to. We all have a job to do. We have to excel at it. We have to do our job better. And we have to, continue to find ways to not hurt ourselves in all three phases, to continue to play complementary, to try to sustain, those types of things, and, just get the guys ready, try to figure out who's going to be available, where the where the injuries are, where you have to try to bring guys in or elevate from the practice squad.
Challenge maybe increase the fact that you've got a short week this week and a shorter week next week?
We'll focus on this week. So we have, one less day to prepare. But so do, the Texans. And then, we'll worry about, what happens after that then. We have to put everything into this week. Make sure that we're ready to go, make sure that we're focused, and that the guys that will be in the game will, be expected to play up to a level and a standard that, is going to help us win.
Been having that conversation about not making the big mistakes and things like that for a couple weeks now. The offense goes out and you get a penalty from one of your key guys on the first series, end up in second and 22 or whatever. What's that say about kind of the message getting through and guys kind of not doing the things that you've been talking about for 3 weeks?
Yeah, that's going to be a quick answer to an incredibly terrible, long question. Just continue to stay consistent and focus on improvement and, making sure that they understand where some of these penalties occur, pressure. And, Nate kind of went back and, I think Ben saw the backer blitzing. So just understanding, like in special teams where, those guys, you get blocks in the back out in space, is just trying to understand where those occur. Hooper's penalties at the point of attack, it's, those are things that set you behind.
Mike, that's it getting through.
Jimmy, you got anything here?
Yeah, I guess the final deep ball to Mike Williams, was maybe in the good coverage and they made a play there. Somebody's supposed to go over there, maybe help him. What maybe went wrong that allowed that late field goal?
Our quarterback broke contain and made a play down the sidelines.
Defense. Good in your mind?
Not good enough. I mean, again, a quarterback broke contain. A guy made a play down the field. So, whether they were on him or not, they made a play.
Mike, a couple of sacks the last couple of weeks that Daly's given up. There was the chip first.
Yeah.
Did the chip serve?
Yeah, not very good. Not good enough.
Did it almost send him around?
We got to stop the charge. We've been trying to work through this through training camp. Been some really good examples of that getting done. And then, unfortunately, we chipped one time and a couple weeks ago, and we flew out of there and gave up, pressure inside. So, the message was, when we are getting a chip, we have to, stay inside out, protect, help the guard. You're getting help. And then the last two times, we haven't done a very good job of chipping. And then our tackles stayed inside out to help the guard. And then all of a sudden realized, I probably am going to need to get out of here a little quicker. And so, again, we just didn't do a good enough job on that particular play.
Ryan moving around today, and is he kind of starting back at square one as far as rehab and trying to get over that
angle? Yeah, he'll work, extremely hard to get back and find a way to make the game like he always has. And, again, we're never going to question his toughness or his willingness to.
Like, we have lost Mike Vrabel there for a second. I don't know if Paul Kaharski pulled the plug or what. What happened there?
It's did official, I say that? Though. It's did official. I say
that? Well, listen,
it's beneficial.
It's I'm saying it's on the record now. It's officially on the record. Vrabel doesn't like Paul.
That's not the first time that
got a little
has
feisty
happened.
Right there.
But this is what I don't understand: is you're going to get on, of all people, Ben Jones. The team's lost four in a row. I get the whole thing about. It's not getting through, but you are not going to get him to dump on Ben Jones.
No, you're not. But, Paul got to ask the question, man. If your team wasn't on a four-game losing streak and they weren't playing awful, then he wouldn't ask these questions. So, we know he and Paul kind of butt heads. I'm not upset that Paul asked the question, but Vrabel didn't want to answer it neither. especially not about one of his guys, like his guys he really liked.
I mean,
and Ben Jones.
All I know is
but look, you think Ben Jones is out there not getting the message from the team?
I think we got him back. I think we got Vrabel back. Am I right or wrong? It's right on my computer. There we go.
Probably like our entire team's effort, not good enough to win. You know, I'm responsible for every call that goes in, whether it gets executed or, you know, it's a good call or a bad call. You know, you have to, you know, look and see times we got into a flow and a rhythm. And I just really, really always curious about play calling. You know, I think that's, again, I've said it in all three phases. I think it's not overrated. That's not the question mark. Is you know, making sure that everybody's on the same page, that we find ways to play the game. To, you know, we were close. You know, and there's just some times where we got into drives, another penalty, started to play drives off with penalties and getting in third and long. You know, I thought that Malik was prepared and went in there. It was probably the most comfortable that he's been. You know, we didn't protect the quarterback again. You know, hit some runs there in the second half that I thought were good. You know, again, I guess when Hooper was wide open, it's a well executed play by Hooper and Ryan and the line. I think the execution and play calling, you know, all go, you know, goes hand in hand. That's what I think about the play calling.
With Malik, and you said he looked the most comfortable he's been. Does that play into your decision making this week and seeing the strides?
Yeah, I mean, if Ryan's healthy and Ryan can play, I mean, Ryan would be our quarterback. But again, I think Malik has put a lot of work into the show team and trying to play the game and command the huddle and do all the things that we've talked about, how he needs to try to develop during the week when there aren't a lot of reps. And he did that. And, you know, Pat's watching all those reps with him. And, you know, we talked about not making bad decisions in the jog through just because it's a jog through, or, you know, he tried to break contain just to, you know, give the guys a look maybe last week or, you know, whenever we with Trevor Lawrence, and, you know, he kind of threw it back across in the middle of the field. And I think it was a good opportunity for me just to say, hey, I think we need to just take off, or, you know, try to progress and try to find somebody on the sidelines, not make those decisions in practice, because we would never, you know, want you to do that. So we're always trying to coach him, and I think he has learned from those opportunities, and I think he was ready to go in the game and try to help us yesterday.
Was he more decisive?
I'm sorry?
Was he more decisive?
He progressed through, and I think, you know, the one where he took off and scrambled, he looked, didn't see what he, you know, didn't like what he saw, put the ball away, made a really good move, got a first down, slid, took care of himself. You know, I thought on maybe one of the moves the ball got, you know, a little outside his body, which we continue to work with. But, you know, I would say the decisive, he progressed through on the third down and, you know, was able to, you know, pick up a first down for us.
You give much thought to going for two after the touchdown?
I think, yeah, I did. I just thought that where the clock was, I think if it would have been down a little lower, you know, that I probably would have. You know, I figured that where it was then, they would have had a chance to kind of do what they did, unfortunately.
On a third and two, why have Derek off the field?
Well, I mean, Derek rotates. We got our package, his pressure package, and prepare a third down back. You know, there's times that Derek's, you know, in there on third and two. There's times that he's not. There's times that he's in there on third and long. So, you know, we have a package that we practice, and, you know, guys are, you know, prepared for those roles, and sometimes Derek's out there.
How do you view, like, third and two? Obviously, third and one's a running down, right? But how do you view third and two as more of a passing down?
Well, I think it's, you know, predicated on, you know, what you feel like you're going to see, the looks that you're going to get, you know, the coverage. I mean, usually he's going to be in there pretty tight, you know, based on what front they're in. Is it a five down front, four down front? And again, you have a lot of options where you are on the field, and you feel like you can, you know, run it, or you feel like you're going to go for it on fourth down. That may predicate, you know, or dictate some of the call.
seen DeMarcus Walker improve maybe since he's been here? How did you think he played yesterday?
I thought he played, you know, really hard. I think he had some good rushes, power rushes, and played with a lot of energy. He's taking advantage of the more snaps that he's gotten and been productive. So hopefully he can help us. He's, you know, been very durable, and he works extremely hard, and I appreciate his attitude.
Mathematically, when you look at the division right now, there's a good chance it comes down to that last game in Jacksonville. Considering that, is there a chance that you maybe rest guys, try and get more healthy in the next couple weeks leading up to that game?
No.
When you see what Houston's done the last couple of weeks, they played some solid games against both Dallas and Kansas City. How have they, I guess, I don't know, stood out to you?
Well, they've got a great group of veteran players that you know, played a bunch of football, I think, in this league and have been successful, you know, other places, guys that I have a great deal of respect for. And they play hard and they compete. And, you know, they should have, had, you know, had Dallas beat, you know, had them beat down there in the goal line in a 4-minute situation. They continue to be opportunistic. They took the ball away and took advantage of turnovers with Kansas City, took them to overtime. You know, so they're obviously, the record doesn't mean anything. They've got veterans that, you know, have played well in this league and continue to play well, and adding some youth, and, you know, so it, again, it'll be a huge challenge. They you know, took Kansas City to overtime without some, you know, key players for them yesterday.
Has this team lost some faith, Mike?
Well, I don't think that anybody's lost any faith. It's you know, it sucks when you lose. Sucks when you know, or in a game and you lose in the last couple seconds. You know, I think if you watch, and you know, the effort, you know, I think the competitiveness, you know, I don't think that anybody's lost any faith.
Is what you're saying resonating? Because some of the themes that you're hitting are still coming up as problems.
Yeah, that's why you coach.
As you said, you still got everything in front of you, but you know, with four straight losses, what do maybe your leaders need to do to keep guys? You know,
we don't need to keep guys in. We just need to play better. We need to coach and get them going. And you know, this isn't a cheerleading contest. This is figure out who you got, and get 48 guys ready for the game. Like, this isn't a, you know, rah rah. You know, this is go out and execute. You know, do the things that help you win, and eliminate some of the things that end up costing you. Because you can see when we do it well and we play complementary, that we have a chance to do things. I mean, we got to stop on defense. We got, you know, sitting there at first and goal, or not first and goal, but first and 10 on maybe the 20-yard line, and then, you know, go backwards and miss a kick. So would like to have some of those things over.
Along those same lines, you guys preach so much about the work during the week to get ready for Sunday. Have you seen that slip at all during that stretch, or is this simply somebody needs to make a play?
Yeah, I mean, we walk through. I mean, we walk through 60 reps. So, I mean, it's hard to practice guys that, you know, are barely making it to the game. So we try to come up with a plan that we feel like is best during the week. Like, the preparation's good. I feel like the energy's good. And you know, I think yesterday was a much different game than – you know, Jacksonville. You know, I think that it was, you know, competitive, and you know, we got beat at the end. We didn't turn it over and hand it to them. We didn't give up the big plays. It was really cool to see our defense go out there and sudden change and do something and keep fighting.
I'm assuming last year wasn't much different in terms of the walkthroughs, but in your first couple of years here, did you get more practice time this time of year? And if so, how beneficial is that in the last couple of weeks of the season?
I think playing well is the most important thing. So however you have to structure practice, just playing well down the stretch is most important.
Dylan, would you like to try that rotation again to get where you wanted to get yesterday?
Oh, yeah, we'll see how it goes this week. I don't, you know, we'll see how Dylan's feeling.
I kind of asking earlier on the injury front, how much have you in the last couple of years kind of looked at everything that you guys are doing, and have you changed anything or altered anything?
Changed a lot. Yeah, we have. I mean, training camp's been different, and you know, we track all the injuries. We check how they occur. Some guys are repeat offenders. Some injuries occur in a game. You know, try to limit. You know, try to limit the ones that occur in practice, obviously. But we were very conscious of the training camp schedule, practice schedule. Talked earlier about how we try to have done research on getting guys to 90% each and every week, so it's not, you know, just once a week on Sundays. Sometimes Wednesday and Thursday, Frank will walk around with the iPad, track guys, and say, hey, I need to get 90%. So they'll manufacture some sort of stride so that it's not just, you know, they hit 90% on Sunday, wait a week, and then all of a sudden go out and hit 90%. So we're focusing on some of those things. And some guys are repeat offenders that, you know, have been, you know, showing up there more than once on some things that are maybe similar or maybe the same injury.
Are you surprised, given those changes, that you're kind of in the same spot you were last year before you made those changes?
That's where we're at, you know, right now. So we'll continue to evaluate and try to, you know, get everybody as healthy as we can.
How much of it for you is you just need your guys back when you get to the finish line?
Oh, well, we need everybody that we can get. You know, we need to, you know, try to get everybody that we can get back healthy. You know, see where Danico is this week, see where Zach is this week. you know, there's a lot of guys coming off that game that, you know, may or may not play in the game going forward.
You mentioned you lose a day, and with your injury situation, what's practice look like here as far as how much speed you can do?
It would look a lot like, you know, last week's. You know, try to walk through, try to do some individual, you know, practice tomorrow, and you know, do some stuff on Wednesday that, probably a little faster, but I mean, I wouldn't see us doing much full speed work till Thursday.
I know you don't have much choice, but is it harder to sustain the next man up message when it's several next men up every week all season long?
Well, you don't have much of a choice, do you? You kind of have to, you know, put somebody in there, and you know, whether that's Greg Maimon, whether it's Jack Gibbons, you know, whoever that is throughout the roster. You know, just trying to get guys to know what to do and be able to play fast and aggressive and give ourselves a chance.
Mike, with Dontrell Hilliard on IR, do you maybe rethink the way you do some of the rotations with Derek and maybe keep him on the field more on third down, with especially as productive as he's been as a receiver this year?
Yeah, those are different downs. I think the play pass stuff, you know, it's different. It's really, you know, we're not using the back to create and win one-on-one in, you know, a choice route situation. And I hope that's not what you guys are alluding to, because that would tell me a lot about what you guys think of and how you view football. There's a protection element to it that we've worked extremely hard on, making sure that everybody knows what to do, and Derek's included in that. And yeah, I mean, obviously those roles that, you know, when we can get him the ball, I do agree with you there. He's worked hard to catch the football. Ryan did a great job on, you know, after the play fake, they didn't go with him. You know, Ryan was decisive, you know, hit the nice screen yesterday. So, you know, there's just some first and second down element that may not, you know, translate to some. Now, he'll be in there in some third downs, you know, and then some he won't be.
A lot about rookie wall, and to see Roger and Chig both ascending.
Absolutely.
When you're past that point, how
good. Yeah, just seeing the look on, you know, Roger's face, he's so competitive. He wants to do so well. He internalizes so much that, you know, again, addressed it, I think, yesterday, is after the, you know, the mistake last week before half where the ball went through his hands, to be able to know the situation and you know, understand it. And that's a fantastic play. Challenged Williams. I thought, you know, the last 2 weeks have been really, really good for him as far as just overall consistency, and we need that to continue. And then Chig as well, just you know, got to make some improvements, you know, at the line of scrimmage. But you know, certainly playing fast, and probably one of our better special teams players, had an outstanding play on a punt team yesterday. And you know, as more snaps as he gets on offense, you know, he still will, you know, wants to be out there on the punt team and wants to help us. And, you know, that's been, again, I've said it a million times, trying to, you know, that's the most impressive thing, I think, from him or Hassan, is that they are really good special teams players.
That's good. Thanks.
Thank you.
Titans head coach Mike Vrabel, live from St. Thomas Sports Park. A lot of stuff to unpack there. We'll do that coming up next because there's a few things he said that I want to hit on. We'll do that next. Chase Willie, D-Mace, 1025. Chase Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 1063, the game. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. Just wrapped up with Mike Vrabel. Short segment here because he went long. All the play calls go through me, basically, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but that's what he said. I get that. You're on the headset. You're the head coach. You're going to hear those things. But you brought it up earlier that if you don't like something, you can veto it. And, I mean, it's all quick, quick, quick. But I don't know how much of that is really happening.
Well, I mean, but how much time do you really have to veto it?
Like, That's what I'm saying.
What would that process like? Like, Derek, were you a part of – like, I guess you don't have the coach talking in your your helmet. But did you go through situations where you came off the field and you realized that – you know, something got – maybe the play clock's going down. Like, what happened here? And you find out later, well, Coach so-and-so jumped in here and made a switch.
If it's running down, the time clock is running down, usually it's either it didn't get in late, it got in late to the quarterback and he's still trying to hear it, or there's sort of this debate on, okay, which play should we run? Vrabel, he has the right to veto plays, but he's not.
Now, is it possible that you go, maybe if you're the offensive coordinator, and you go, hey, coach, just so you know, I'm going X, Y, Z here, to give him a chance to say, well, I don't know, man, let's think in terms of two down territory here. Look, I really want Derek on the field here. Uh-huh. You know, do you think that can happen? In advance? Does that happen?
Really good offensive coordinators. What happens? Because the head coach has the headset on.
Yeah, he can hear all this, right?
And the head coach may say, "Hey, listen, what are you thinking right here?" Like for instance, Jeff. Hey, Dinger, what are you thinking right here? You know, it's 3rd and 6. What are you thinking right here? Make sure you know. Such and such is on the field. Well, whether make sure Eddie's on the field or, you know, Mason's or Drew, make sure those guys are on the field. What are you thinking here? And then Dinger come back. Hey, this is what I'm thinking. This play, maybe this play. Check out of this play. Okay. But head coaches, from my experience, don't want to meddle too much because you've hired him to do a job. And if you continue to meddle, that means you don't trust what he's calling. So you allow him to go with the flow, but then every once in a while, the head coach will come in and say, listen, put Eddie back in the game. I want to run it right up the gut, okay? That's what we're doing. And regardless of what the offense coordinator wanted to do, that play is getting run. Whatever play, Eddie up the middle. That's what I want called. It's either it's 4th and 1, 3rd and 1, or we're trying to set a tone for the game. Coaches will do that. But a coach, head coach very seldom is going to start interjecting himself into the play calls.
That's not
going to
work.
Because that tells everybody you have no trust in the offensive coordinator.
100%.
But I'm sure there's been times where Vrabel was like, listen, I want this play called the next time we're, you know, in a red zone. Let's go with this play. I like this play in practice. Let's go with this play. And the offensive coordinator say, okay, set everything up. And if we have an opportunity to run that play at that particular time, he'll run it. But I don't think Vrabel, yes, he has vetoing right, but a lot of times he's not doing that because you're going to run into a situation where, you know, it's like you don't trust your offensive coordinator. And you don't want to get to that point. If you're going to fire him, you wait till after the season to do that, but you don't start, you know, interjecting yourself in every call that he makes.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. You're kind of past that point.
Exactly.
Now. And we'll see what happens in the offseason. We'll continue the discussion, a couple other things from the press conference that we're going to hit on as well. But, hey, look, you've heard me talking about Hair Club. I have I got some power outages upstairs and trying to get that cleaned up. I love my hair and I love my look, so I wanted to do something about that. That's why I gave Hair Club a call. Hair Club, no matter what it is, restoration, regrowth, small problems, big problems, whatever it is, they have those answers for you. And all you need to do is sign up and go in for a free consultation, and they will help you out with whatever your hair situation is. Hair Club has a solution for you. Just fill out the form at hairclub.com/chase. That's my name, C-H-A-S-E, to schedule your free consultation. And because you do that, they'll give you 10% off anything that you happen to purchase just because you listened to me and I sent you. Or what you can do is text Chase, C-H-A-S-E, that's me, to 694-247 and get set up that way. It's Hair Club. They will take care of you, and you're going to love it. Chase Willie, D-Makes, 1025-1063 The Game. Chase McCabe, Willie Donning, Derek Mason with you. We'll get into the Preds here in a few minutes as they play Edmonton tonight. The other thing, you know, talk about play calling. He was asked about the locker room. He was asked about, you know, the team. And we played the clip of Kevin Byard earlier. You can hear the frustration there. I hear the frustration with Mike Vrabel, too. I mean, he's going to say the right things as the coach of, you know, we're still good. We're still, you know, we're still a team. But as Teron Davenport said earlier, the thing that you worry about with this team right now is there being a divide between the offense and the defense, because the defense did their job yesterday. Mm-hmm. But the offense only put up 14 points. If I'm the defense and I'm beat up, I mean, that's the side of the ball that is really beat up. And that's what that's the job they're doing. They're forcing turnovers. You know, they're getting the job done there. And yes, it had been a while since they got the turnovers. I mean, I'd be worried about a divide too. Here was Mike Vrabel on if the team has lost faith.
Has this team lost some faith, Mike?
Well, I don't think that anybody's lost any faith. It's, you know, it sucks when you lose. It sucks when you know, are in a game and you lose in the last couple seconds. You know, I think if you watch and you know, the effort, you know, I think the competitiveness, you know, I don't think that anybody's lost any faith.
Do you guys think that they've lost faith? Because I do.
We talked about this on Friday. Derek, uh-huh. When you go into a fight and you look to your left and your right and you're stacked with big, strong dudes who are, Navy SEALs, just pick uh-huh. whoever you image when you think, you know, I got Arnold Schwarzenegger over here. I got Von Damme over here.
The young Arnold
Schwarzenegger. I got Steven Seagal over here. I got Sylvester Stallone. You know, I got guys. I'm going into the fight. And then – the next time I go into the fight,
Pee Wee Herman. And
right. You see what I'm saying? But that's kind of – that is going to affect your confidence uh-huh. level, your belief. It is going to wear on you. And that's what's happening right now to the Titans. They are not the same team. They have half of their starters out of the lineup. It's hard to keep the same swagger. And so I feel no different about it. In fact, I agree with Mike Vrabel. They played hard. They spilled their guts out yesterday. I think they did pretty well with what they had. I would not have been surprised if they got run out of the building yesterday with all that they're dealing with right
yeah.
now. I thought they did well to fight and get the game.
In fact, it was close.
Get the game on the verge of overtime.
Yep.
At which, you know, I know we were going to talk about the two-point conversion.
Yeah,
I thought that might have been worth a shot, and he discussed that there. But either way, you know, to me, you look at the Chargers, I continue to be underwhelmed with what they do with their talent. I know they've had a lot of injuries themselves, but that team has underachieved big time, and the Titans, despite being undermanned big time, almost pulled out the win on that. I think that was a positive in some way. The problem is, as we said, you couple the fourth loss in a row with the fact that Jacksonville has now crept up. They got a huge win. They're buoyed with confidence now. They're going into the fight feeling a whole lot better. And they may well not lose until they play the Titans on the last game of the season. Their next two games are very winnable, mm-hmm. the Jets and the Texans. And so Jacksonville could come in 8-8 with a chance to beat the Titans and win the division. It's looking more and more like that last game could be a playoff game,
yeah,
a play-in game.
Yeah, well,
it's going to be. I think it'll be flex to Sunday Night Football because it'll be
very well
one of the biggest games.
It absolutely could be.
Well, have they lost faith?
We need some George Michael coming back.
I gotta have faith. it's hard to say, because when you look at this team and start dissecting or analyzing the roster and what has went on, you it's almost like you got to have faith because there's nothing else you have, you know? There's nothing else you can grab onto that is going to say, hey, listen, we're going to finish the season 4-0. There's nothing else you can grab on to but faith that, listen, I have faith that we will get this thing together, that we will pull out a game somehow, some way, or the next two or three games somehow, some way, because my eyes see something different. My eyes see a team that may lose every game from here on out and maybe, just maybe, might not be to make the playoffs. That's what my eyes see. But my faith is telling me it's something better. Something else is coming. You know, we're going to be able to grind it out. We're going to make it into the playoffs, and then we can restart and get it going again. Maybe we can get some guys back. Well, faith ain't going to help you in football right now. It's not. What you see is what you get. Again, faith is not going to bring Harold Landry back. Faith is not going to bring Treylon Burks back this game. Because Mike Vrabel hadn't said anything about Treylon Burks. And that he, if he felt he was going to be able to play this game, he would have mentioned him in that conversation
when he was mentioning a couple
other people. Faith is not going to bring DeNico Autry back and him being 100%. Faith is not going to make, you know, Jeffrey Simmons 100%. It's just not.
And yet, as Vrabel said, you have no choice.
Exactly.
When you're the coach, you still have to try to build that faith as much as you possibly can.
Yeah, but your eyes, what your eyes is telling you, and what your, because you got to believe in what you've seen, what your eyes are telling you, and what's in front of you. All of these things that I just mentioned, there's no, these guys are not coming back to help you. Where you're at right now is not a good place. And moving forward, it doesn't seem like, you know, you're in a place where you can overcome a four-game losing streak. You may win one, maybe even two games in this span. But if Jacksonville continues to win too, that last game is going to come down. That last game against Jacksonville is going to come down to who makes the playoff and who doesn't.
Mike Vrabel said, "Before this river becomes an ocean, before you throw my heart back on the floor, I reconsider my foolish notion. Well, I need someone to hold me, but I'll wait for something more. You got to have faith."
Well, I mean, again, you can have it. It is good to have. But that's not going to change Sunday. That's not going to change what you're taking into Sunday. I wish we could say, wave a magic wand and say, listen, DeNico Autry's back. Harold Landry has made a miraculous recovery, and he's back on the field. Bud Dupree has formed a second move or a third move. You know, Fulton and those guys are injury-free now. And Treylon Burks is back. And Derrick Henry is rushing like he used to rush. And that offensive line is the best offensive line in the National Football League for the last 4 weeks. I don't think that's happening.
You know, he was asked the question, Mike Vrabel was, about, hey, look, mathematically – it really does look like one way or the other. That last game is going to mean everything for the division.
Yeah,
yeah.
Unless Jacksonville has the wheels come off here, or unless the Titans not only beat the Texans but also then turn around and beat the Cowboys.
Which they're not going to do.
Well, we don't know that.
They're not beating the Cowboys.
Well, we don't know that. What was the question of Vrabel? Can you try to get your – would you consider trying to rest guys and get them healthy for the later
weeks? You can't afford to do that.
And he said no. In one word, he said no.
No.
Because he can't afford to do it.
Nope.
And he doesn't have enough bodies to do it.
It is a fair question to say, though, what can my roster look like? Who could I get back by that last game? Like, Autry looks like he's making progress. Uh-huh. Do they have a chance of getting Burks back? Do they have a chance of getting Long back? I'm talking about for the last game against Jacksonville.
But you don't ask that question if you've been following this team.
No.
Like,
I would expect Mike Vrabel to answer it accordingly. He can't say. But I do think those are things that you talk about privately behind the scenes.
No, he can't even talk about that, Willie, because their roster, they don't have any depth.
I'm talking about with your personnel guys. I'm talking about with your trainers.
He can't even talk about that with them. Because his thing is, I can't – my resting guys is what he said, not having full practices. We do walkthroughs. That's my resting guys. I can't afford to rest guys on game day. Why? Because we don't have the depth. As much as great as it sounds in theory, I can't do it because we have no depth. I can't rest Simmons. D.D. Archery's not there. And then we didn't have T.R. Tart. Was it T.R. Tart last night?
T.R. Tart has
his partner went into labor.
Yeah.
So it's like I can't rest my guys when I don't have backups.
Yeah. It's incredible what they've been hit with. Yeah. Every third play, there's a guy down on the field with the trainers coming
out. So because of a lot of that, I believe they should have gone for two. We'll discuss that coming up next and hear Mike Vrabel's answer as well. But Blimbar with Davidoff Cigars is an awesome spot downtown. It's blocks away from this building, Bridgestone Arena. It's blocks away from the Ryman and from Nissan Stadium, just a quick walk across the bridge. They have they've won awards for the best cigar bar in the world in 2017 and best cigar bar in the country in 2020. Jeremy, who's my guy over there, he's been recently nominated for Nashville Business Journal's Top 40 Under 40, and Blend has been nominated for the journal's Best in Business in Nashville in 2022. They have an exclusive relationship with Davidoff Cigars, the best cigars in the world, that will allow them access to rare cigars that only Blend can carry. And by the way, I love a good old-fashioned. I'm a bourbon drinker, whiskey drinker. They have been voted the best old-fashioned in Nashville over 14 other bars and restaurants in the city. They have VIP parties. All you have to do is contact Jeremy. It's upstairs. It has the same ventilation system as they have downstairs that replaces the air every 7 minutes with extensive carbon filtration. So even if you're not a cigar smoker and you just want to go in with somebody for a drink, it's a good spot. You don't have that smell. So it's an awesome place. They have catering options as well for your VIP party. So do like I do. Go into Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars, located at 508 Church Street in downtown Nashville. Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars is luxury redefined.
You give much thought to going for two after the touchdown?
I think, yeah, I did. I just thought that where the clock was, I think if it would have been down a little lower, you know, that I probably would have. You know, I figured that where it was then, they would have had a chance to kind of do what they did, unfortunately.
That's Titans head coach Mike Vrabel on whether he would have gone for two or not as the Titans fall 17-14 yesterday in L.A. I almost said San Diego. In L.A. against the Chargers. Now, 1-1 at SoFi Stadium in its short tenure in the National Football League. So I'm sitting at a local establishment with a few people, and they score, and I immediately do this. I hold up, for those of you watching on the screen, I immediately hold up the two. I would have gone for two. I get what he's saying on where the clock was, that, you know, they still had some time. And look, a field goal is gonna get you either way, whether it's tied or whether you've taken the one-point lead. I understand that. Your defense is going to have to go play no matter what. So knowing that, why wouldn't you go for two?
Well, before we get to that, this is another thing that I thought was interesting about the last plays leading up to that touchdown. The Titans only had one timeout. Mm-hmm. They were in a hurry. They were in a scramble. Uh-huh. They get inside the 10, and they only have one timeout to work with. And then all of a sudden, Brandon Staley starts taking timeouts. Did you guys raise your eyebrows on that? Because that's a calculated gamble. It allowed the Titans to calm down and say, uh-huh, all right, now we know we can get organized here. We can get the personnel on the field. They took that scramble mode out of the Titans, and I think it allowed them to score easier. But it ended up working brilliantly and exactly how Staley planned it out. They took the timeouts, but they left themselves enough time to go back and score. So at the end of the day, I don't know. I would like to have followed up with Mike Vrabel on the time left and why that played into the decision. Because either way, what's the difference if you're up one or tied with that? You're still in the same situation. You've got to get a stop, right? Whether you're protecting a one-point lead or the game is tied.
In that situation, and listen, that's what separates the, you know, great coaches from the good coaches and the good coaches from the average coaches, making a decision at critical times and knowing your roster, knowing you know, what your team is doing in that particular moment. I think the momentum was sort of headed toward their way anyway, even though Staley was calling the timeouts. The first time Ani called, I'm like, what is he doing? Like, but then once they completed the pass to Hooper, kind of got closer, I'm like, okay, I see what he's doing now. Yeah. This may
trying
not
to leave
this may work.
Time.
This may
yeah.
not work. But I think in that situation, this is why, you know, only so many guys can be head coaches in this league. Because if you make that situation to go for two in that moment, players could look at it two different ways. They could look at it as, okay, he's going for it, boom, let's do it, coach. Or he could look at it from this standpoint, he doesn't have faith in us. He thinks if we don't win this game, it's over with. So it's almost like he's panicking in a sense to them. So what do? You say, okay, let's tie this game up. Have faith in the defense that they will stop them with, well, is it 40-something seconds left?
Yeah,
51 is when they
yeah.
scored.
They'll stop them, and we're just going to overtime. And we feel in overtime, you know, it's a 50-50 ball game. Then at least you're giving us an opportunity.
But you're not good enough. You're not good enough.
I know that. But if you go for that, then, and you don't make it, your team, there's going to be a portion of your team thinking, the defense is thinking like, why did you do that? Like, we worked our ass off to limit them to 14 points. And you had a chance to tie the game the way the defense is playing. You had a chance to tie the game and let us do our job. We've been doing it the whole game. Let us do our job now.
But you
didn't have faith in nobody, so you wanted to go for two.
So you think that if you put every member of that football team on a lie detector, that a majority of them would say, no, kick it, tie it up, don't go for two?
Yep. And I think majority of those guys will be on defense because the defense is thinking, listen, we've held our own. We've given you an opportunity to win the game. Okay, go tie the game, and we'll win it for you in overtime. We will. We'll stop them. We'll win it for you in overtime.
But that's why the coach has to make the decision. The way I look at it, and I look at it the same way with a situation where in college basketball, you have the last possession. You have the ball out of bounds. You're down by two. Do I go for the two to tie, or do I go for the three to win? Mm-hmm. And coaches, this is what I hear a lot of coaches saying. Do I have the horses?
Uh-huh.
Am I the better team? What's more likely to happen in overtime? If we're the better team, then, look, if we get an easy two to tie it, just like I kick the extra point, I like my chances in overtime. I don't know if I was leaning your way,
yeah,
Chase.
I
was just thinking, look, my offense drive the field again? I wasn't sure they could drive the field in that game to tie it up. I was pleasantly surprised.
Were you sure their
defense
could stop them? Are you sure the Titans' defense, the way they've been playing?
Well, they're going to have to stop them either way. They're going to stop them in the last 49 seconds either way. If you get the two, you still had to stop them. But
I
didn't think they had the better team. Like I thought they were the underdog, and I think when you're the underdog, you're better off going for two. Even though from the two,
I'm telling you,
would be. That'd be a tough call.
I'm telling you, defensive guys and even some offensive guys, if that 2-point conversion was not made, they're on the sideline. The defense is pissed off. The defense has said,
right, but either
you
way,
should have went for one and given us an opportunity.
But either way, you're going to get an opportunity. Whether you get it,
it's better for me to get an opportunity when it's 14-14 because now the pressure is not on the – it's really not on the defense to stop you.
But here's the other thing that
– in a sense, like, we feel we're just going to play our defense with 50-something seconds left. They have no timeout. Just play your lanes.
Yeah, well, and here's the problem. You gave up a 35-yard pass to Mike Williams.
Why? Because the guy got out. Because the outside guy didn't protect his lane. He allowed the quarterback to get outside of him.
Right.
And that was
that was an incredible throw.
It was incredible.
But you're sitting here, and I understand, Derek. I mean, I understand what you're saying. You're fighting for the defense. Uh-huh. The defense didn't make that play.
They didn't make that play.
So, no matter what, you're in a situation. I look at it from this standpoint. The quarterback is bloodied and bruised and is on one leg.
Uh-huh.
And you just and he just led a great drive that he ends up scoring on.
Uh-huh.
Even though it was short distance, he still had to fight for that to get that touchdown. And now you're going to sit there and you're going to hope for, one, a stop to end regulation, because uh-huh. 50 seconds is a lot of time, as you know.
Yeah.
And then you're going to ask him to do it again in overtime.
Yep. This is not. It wouldn't be the first time.
No, but.
And it's not going to be the last time.
But I just.
That again, shows a and, panic move.
And I know I don't look at it as a panic move.
Though. Why do you think he went for the field goal? I mean, the extra point.
Well, he said it because he thought if it had been less time on the
clock. Less time, like what?
Two.
He was very vague when he said less time.
Well,
like, does he mean?
I think he was surprised.
20
that,
seconds.
I think he was surprised that Staley took the timeouts when he did.
Yeah.
I think he was surprised. That was a little bit of outside the box thinking there. Because if I'm on the mm-hmm. the Chargers defense, I'm sitting there. Why are we giving them the chance to organize? We got them in a scramble.
Yeah.
Put the pressure on them to make the plays with the clock running. They can't stop the clock.
But I'm sure some of those defensive players was like, man, we're tired. Like, can you please call a timeout? They're thinking in their head, can you please call at least one timeout just to get us – just so we can regroup?
Yeah. It's a tough call. That's a great debate among coaches of what do you do in that situation there.
Coming up next, we will get our NFL zingers. Nick Kieser has them ready to go. We'll do that. Chase Willie D-Mace, 125-106, Free the Game.